Under pressure, Walgreens Pharmacy will not move its tax headquarters overseas.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Walgreens said today it is buying full control of the European Pharmacy Alliance Boots in a deal worth $10 billion. What it is not doing is moving its tax headquarters to Switzerland. These so-called inversion deals are designed to save U.S. taxes, and Walgreens shareholders have been pushing for this. But Walgreens' American customers have generally not, and some mounted a petition drive to keep the tax headquarters in Illinois. The company says it did not believe a tax inversion would have held up to IRS scrutiny, although the maneuver is legal. Experts say consumer companies like Walgreens may not be the best candidates for these. And now the White House is considering ways to thwart this trend. Marketplace's Chrissy Clark joins us. Morning, Chrissy.
Good morning, David.
So Congress has been talking about these inversions. Folks on both sides of the political aisle seem troubled by them, but so far no action. Now, the Obama administration is saying it might step in?
Yeah, President Obama has called these inversions unpatriotic, but he said there wasn't much the White House could do on its own. Then, just yesterday, the Treasury Secretary, Jacob Lew, said that given all the gridlock in Congress, the administration is now looking more closely to see if there's anything it can do on its own for at least a partial fix.
For example?
So Lew wouldn't go into details, but some proposals have been floated recently by a former Obama official, a Harvard law professor, that suggest some possible steps. For example, in an inversion, a company will typically shift a bunch of the debt from the newly acquired foreign part of the company over to the U.S. subsidiary. Then come tax time in the U.S., the company will deduct all that newly acquired debt to lower its taxes. This Harvard professor argues that the White House could use its regulatory authority to start treating that debt as equity instead, which cannot be deducted.
Well, what does Congress have to say about any of this?
Well, more disagreement, of course. Some Democrats are calling on the president to take some action, at least as a stopgap measure. But some Republicans are warning that he shouldn't start tinkering with inversions on his own, but instead wait for Congress, however long that takes.
All right. Marketplace's Chrissy Clark, thanks.
You're welcome.
And two potentially huge mergers have fallen apart. First, Fox Media tycoon Rupert Murdoch says he will no longer chase after Time Warner. Murdoch apparently misread the situation and thought Time Warner was in the mood to sell. And in the cell phone business, Sprint will not merge with T-Mobile, and Sprint CEO Dan Hesse is leaving. Arash Masoodi covers mergers and acquisitions for the Financial Times.
Well, this is a super fascinating situation that's been rumored for months now that Sprint and T-Mobile were working on a combination that would allow them to compete more aggressively with AT&T and Verizon, the two dominant mobile players in the U.S. But it appears that there finally was a breakdown over whether this thing would actually get through the regulators in Washington. And it looks like Sprint has decided to back away from the table. It appears they will announce a new CEO today and are embarking on a different strategy. And also, there's this element of a French company called Iliad, which has bid a lower amount than what was rumored for the Sprint offer. And now its interest is going to become a very developing story in terms of what happens with T-Mobile next.
The FT's Arash Masoodi in London. Amid all the storm und drang of mergers and markets, we like to track compelling ideas on this program as well. How about if colleges and universities could grow rather than subtract from their endowment money by making their campuses more environmentally friendly? Mark Orlowski is founder and executive director of the Sustainable Endowments Institute. He has an online system to help the schools track ways they can get financial returns, not just through stock and bond markets, but through energy efficiency. Mark, good morning.
Good morning to you, David. Great to be here.
All right. Say I'm the provost of an imaginary college. You want me to do what?
We're working on a program called the Billion Dollar Green Challenge to encourage colleges and universities to invest more in their existing buildings, to upgrade the lighting, to reduce energy consumption and energy waste, and save a lot of money at the same time.
All right. So if ever I rose to provost, first thing I would say is, that costs a lot of money. Do I look like a guy made of money?
Well, that's where things get interesting, because the reality is most of these projects are actually tremendous investments. Harvard's been running their revolving fund since about 2001, and they're now generating about $5 million a year in energy savings they would have otherwise had to spend if they hadn't done these projects. So there's huge savings opportunities. Most college and universities are wasting hundreds of thousands or even millions of dollars a year in excess energy consumption because they have old and inefficient technologies. They're not investing to upgrade those facilities to make them more efficient.
All right. So if you're not fully grokking this, you have an app?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've built a web app to help colleges, universities, and other institutions better track and manage all this data. And so the app is called GRITS, Green Revolving Investment Tracking System. And the idea is it automatically calculates your energy savings and your financial savings so you can look at your return on investment, your payback periods, also actually see data, real data, from dozens of other institutions around the country. We already have over 200 projects in this library, and there's more being added almost every day.
If you were using some endowment money for these changes, you could take some of the savings of the energy and put it back in the endowment when you're done.
Absolutely. I think there's a misperception that university endowments can't invest in these types of projects because the donor money is restricted and they're not allowed to do things that are not in the best interest or in alignment with the wishes of the donors to those endowment funds. The reality is this is actually an investment and not an expenditure from the endowment. And so rarely are there any restrictions on the investment strategy. So there's tremendous opportunity.
Mark Orlowski, founder and executive director at the Sustainable Endowments Institute, thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
For more on his billion-dollar green challenge, we put up a link at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.